You made progress, thank you. Everyone could just mute whoever's on. Good morning to everyone. So we left off last week discussing what seemed to be almost a little bit of an intricate, detailed halacha about how to build a wall when you have two partners who are dividing up a courtyard. But in the process, we began to touch upon a very basic principle that really permeates all of the dinamunas. And that's what the Mishnah concludes, that called Kinnunik HaMedina. The Mishnah says that when we decide how exactly to build this wall, we follow whatever the regular protocols are. We check out what the Home Depot standards are, and that's the way we build the wall. Nevertheless, Rabbi Tam was very quick to point out that that statement is not always true. Because if that statement was always true, then we wouldn't need the first Mishnah in Bava Basra, because the first Mishnah in Bava Basra then goes on to give us a list of how to build the wall. So if it was always true that you simply follow the Minhag HaMedina, why did Chazal waste their time telling us different kinds of walls? So Rabbi Tam and other Rishonim basically developed the Yisod, that there are really two different halachas that are playing out here. That a kol kinnunik HaMedina means that if it's a minug that makes sense, it's a minug that's a Torah dika minug, a minug that's been sanctioned by the Rabbanim, by the Dayanim in town, those kinds of minhagim are really truly binding. If you have a minug that a couple of guys put together on their own and they're trying to pass it off for us as this is the minug, that's what we do, it doesn't really make any sense, that it's absolutely not binding in halacha. But then we saw, at a secondary level, that there are certain minhagim that are binding, even though the sources of those minhagim are not the greatest minhag chachamim. That was the minhag chamorim, the minhag of the camel and the donkey drivers that we spoke about in the second book of Kama. So we were kind of still searching for what exactly is the tokif, what exactly is the source for this very principle of hakol kol minhag medina, what in the imamunus binds me to do this. We know that in order to, in a sense, force me to do something in the imamunus, you have to show me a possible chumash. You have to show me halacha mar Sinai. You have to show me a din derabanan. You have to show me something that has teeth to it. You're telling me that this vague minhag is what the olam does. What does that do with me? The phrase, because the olam was a goyim, because the olam was doing things. What does that do with me? So what exactly is the source of this idea of a kol kinnunik HaMedina, and why is it limited, at least in a certain sense, only minhag chachamim? So we began to develop this idea at the end of the shiur this week, that perhaps a kol kinnunik HaMedina is rooted in the principle of Hefker, Beis, and Hefker. We already saw Rishon who had such an idea that the Beis Din does have authority to change the Dinamonis. And what a kol kinnunik HaMedina basically means is it's a change from regular Dinamonis. It does not say in the Chumash anything about how to build walls when partners divide up property, but the Beis Din steps up to the plate and says, well, it's necessary for society to function. We have to have some kind of standards, some kind of rules. Otherwise, I'm going to build one way and build another way. The wall's going to come tumbling down. We're going to get into fight. So Beis Din made it takarma. And based on the koach of Hefker, Beis Din Hefker, they have a right to do so. And who is this grandiose Beis Din out there? The Beis Din is the Dayanim should also hear. Rabbanim should also hear. Hakol Kiminik HaMedina, in the words of Rabbeinu Tam, is following the Minik HaChachamim. So that means Hefker, Beis Din Hefker. But we get stuck because there were many Rishonim who were of the opinion that Hefker Beis and Hefker is limited to great, great Tamir Chachamim, the real top of the line Tamir Chachamim. You have a little shtetl somewhere in Poland, and the rabbi in town decides we're going to build a wall of Zoi. That's Hefker Beis and Hefker. That's a Hefker. Hefker Beis and Hefker means a Beis of Ezra, a Beis of Yeshua. Those are the sources for Hefker Beis and Hefker. For Beis of Ravana, Ravasi, the Gemara said, those are really a high level, but they didn't. Mechilas covered the regular shtetl Rav. Who says he has the koach? We mafke mama. So we spent a lot of time last week talking about the prusbel dimension of this, all the riots back and forth with the prusbel. I'm happy to report that I oversaw three prusbels this year on the Rosh Hashanah. None of them were b'ksav. They were all baal peh. One of them, the last one this year, was as we began Ashrei for Mincha on the Rosh Hashanah. So a guy came up and told me that somebody owed him X amount, a serious amount of money. And so I grew up two other guys next to me, and I said, okay, I was not bringing out my paper and pencil. I started writing out Prusos at the time. So we did a quick Prusos B'Apel, which according to the Ramah Paskes, even the avenue of Prusos B'Apel works. So I don't know if we want to rely on that next year, but at least for the Chumra Dika Prusos, we can rely on the Kula Dika Shita, whatever that may sound like. So that was real good. But nobody has been the mikvah to do a Prusos this year. I did get a freebie on that one. So back to the story. So if you hold that Hefka Beis and Hefka is limited to very, very high level kind of Beis Din, so where did Hakol Kodesh Medina play out? So perhaps there's another idea that's going on here. And it's based on a Gemara that appears in the fifth parak of Maseches Baba Kama. Let's see if we can find it on the Maamar Kamos. It's on the second, that's on the third page of the Maamar Kamos. It's the Gemara that begins with Kama Daf and Vav Amud Beis. Hopefully by the next sugya everything will be numbered properly, but we just have to use our imagination here. So it's Vav Kama Daf and Vav Amud Beis on page 3. Amar B'Shmuel Bar Nachmeini, Minayin Lamotz Mechaber Alav Araya. What is the source for this principle, which is probably the most basic principle that governs all of Dinim Amunus? We have an argument in the Beis Din. Two guys walk to the Beis Din. Reuven says to Shimon, that shirt that you're wearing, that's my shirt. So page 3. So page 3 of the memory comes. So Reuven says to Shimon, that shirt that you're wearing, that shirt belongs to me. And Shimon says, go jump in the lake. It's my shirt. And we're fighting and yelling as we come to the Beis Din. So who gets to keep the shirt? Some of you know who gets to keep the shirt. Hamotz v'chaleil v'raya. If you want to get something away from somebody else, the other person is mukhsa from the shirt. He's wearing the shirt. So you have to prove it. It's incumbent upon you to bring the source of proof. So the Gemara asks a strange question. How do we know that? What's the source of Chumash of that principle that governs all of Dinim Amunus? So the Gemara actually quotes a Pasuk, Shinemar, Mibal Dvarim Yigash Alehem. Pasuk says in Pashas Mishpatim, Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Har Sinai, so he was planning on going away for 40 days, so no doubt there was going to be some Dinei Torah going on. Between 600,000 people, someone's going to get into a fight with somebody. So he had to set up some kind of a system that people are going to have Dinei Torah for those 40 days. So he tells Aaron, Hur, they should be in charge. And he says to Klai, so Mibal Dvarim Yigash Aleim. Whoever has an issue should come to them. So that Lashon Yigash is a funny Lashon. Yigash means they should approach, they should come. But the word Lagish also means to bring, like to bring something, to present something, Lagish Avar. So the Gemara is a drasha, Yagish Raya Aleim. Since the Torah uses the phrase Yigash Aleim, that is a double meaning, not just they should come, but they should bring the proof. So the burden of proof is upon the person who wants to get something. So this is a din deraisa based on this pasuk. Zeres of pasuk mibal dvar migash shalem. So maskev Ravashi. Ravashi asks the question. Ravashi says, "I'm not questioning the din. I'm questioning the source. What I'm really questioning is the necessity for source." Halamalikra svaru says Ravashi, "I need a pasuk to tell me hamotzu b'chabel v'raya. I can't figure it out based on pure logic. What's the pure logic?" It makes sense. The koyv like Eva, Ozla Bayasya. If something hurts you, go to the doctor. That's what the moshul is. If you're 2/3, go to the dentist. If you have a problem, go deal with the problem. It's not my problem. I'm wearing the shirt. I have no problem. I'm wearing the shirt. You have a taina against me. You claim that the shirt is mine. So go prove that. Go do something about it. Go prove that the shirt's mine. So until you can prove something about it, you're not getting anywhere near my shirt. So the Gemara seems to conclude that a motz b'chavel of araya is not even a pasuk. You don't even need a pasuk. It's a svar pshuta ad ba'od. So we're not really learning the sugya of Motzei Chavel V'Raya yet, although coming attractions, that is actually going to play out in the next sugya and in multiple sugyas, hopefully throughout the year. It's a very, very important topic. But the point that's critical for us to extract from the sugya is as follows. The Gemara just said something very, very critical in terms of not just the Mamonos, but really in terms of Kol Torah Kula. Lama likra svaru. If something makes a lot of sense, if something is logical, then you don't need a pasuk to tell me it. I could figure it out on my own. And if I can figure it out on my own, that's considered to be a din deraisa. Otherwise, what's the first question? Lamli krosvaru. The question is, why do you need a pasuk? It's obvious. I need a pasuk to tell me that it's the Torah law. It's not just human logic. No. If it's human logic, if it makes sense, if it's sound, reasoning is sound, then it takes on the status of being a Dibna Torah. That's apparently one of the Midosh HaTorah Dereshas Behem. There are many, many rules that we use to derive Dibim Dereshas. The Rambam has this famous Hekdomot of Beishu Mishnayas, commenting on the Gemara's Masech's Irvin, that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Moshe Rabbeinu the Torah, So of course he gave him the Chamish Chamshi Torah, the Torah Shabbat, and he gave him all the basic principles of the Torah Shabbat. He taught him how to make tefillin, and he taught him how to build a mikvah, he taught him how to shecht an animal, all the basic tzuras of all the Tag Mitzvahs. And then he also gave him the tools and the mechanisms to derive halachas one from another. He taught him how to make hekeshes and how to make kabachemes and how to make mematzinos and bininahs, all the different midrash and Torah rishonim. And he explained to him that there's going to come times in each and every generation, starting with that generation, we can have shalos, we can have sveikis, and the Kodesh Baruch Hu didn't give Moshe Rabbeinu every single scenario of every single case. So the Moshe, in thousands of years from now, there's going to be a thing called an electric light bulb. So I don't know whether the Kodesh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu that or not, I'm not commenting on that, but the Kodesh Baruch Hu taught Moshe Rabbeinu, if you really truly understand what the word Eish means in Halacha, so if you understand the longness of what it means to be Lo Sabar Eish B'chol Moshe Seichem, then you can begin to extrapolate what that means, other kinds of mechanisms. So you have to go back in Chazal, you have to go back and see, Chazal had Besorahs, Chazal had understandings, Chazal had a much deeper understanding of Torah than we do, and they understood. And sometimes you have Chalikis and Midrashanim, what did Chazal say about a certain topic? It's like that electric light bulb is a good example. It's not 100% clear what Chazal said about the definition of Eish, can it be extrapolated, not extrapolated, etc. It is 100% clear that Halachi came to the lights and chops. That wasn't the question, but just a longer question about certain nuances. So back to the story, Kodesh Baruch Hu gave Moshe Rabbeinu a whole approach that to extrapolate, did one din from another. That's so much of Torah Shabbat. That's what the Torah says in Pasha Shoftim. Ki yipolei mimcha dover l'mishpat, b'ndam l'dam, b'ndin l'dim, b'ndin l'nega. There's going to come a time when you're going to have a shayla. Ki yipolei mimcha dover l'mishpat. You're not going to know what to do. One Dayan is going to say Azoy, one Dayan is going to say, he's going to say this is a way the Victus, he's going to say this is a Kofar Kol, this is a this, this is a Mazik, this is a Nezik, this is a Gromit, this is a Garmit. So what do you do? So you have to figure out, you have to knock your heads against the wall to learn Kol Tarkula, to figure out how to extrapolate one din from another. And then if it remains a Machlokes, so then you follow the Rovach, Rav Nachos, then you go to Beis Din, and Beis Din decides, whatever the outcome is, that's the Halacha. So apparently, Svaras were part of that Masurga. Because Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu that you have to think really, really hard, and if you use good, solid reasoning, and you come up with some kind of a din that makes a lot of sense, that is a din in a Torah. That's part of the Masorah also, even though there's no possible, there's no Halacha Moshe Rabbeinu, if it really, really makes good sense. Now the question is, who determines, who decides whether it makes sense or not? It has to make sense in a Torah system. You can have things that make a lot of sense to people who have a different value system, have a different way of thinking. And sometimes we have a lot of disagreements. Every argument sounds like it makes sense in your box. If you have certain premises, you have certain things that you hold to be true, so then the argument makes sense in your line of reasoning. So the line of reasoning that we use is a theoretical reasoning. So if a person understands what is Maidu Mikzas, what is Kefrakol, what is Erechad, is Chayv Bishua, he understands all the basic rules of Dini Mamadis. And then he says, wait a second, this makes a lot of sense. I'm also the Raya, because whatever the Svar is, so that is a din in the Torah. So the same is true when it comes to Kol Kabinik HaMedina. It makes really, really good sense to build the wall this way. Ayah Kodesh Baruch Hu didn't tell Moshe Rabbeinu this. He didn't sit down and give him a list of how to build, what building materials to use in the Tavshin Pei Beis. But this makes a lot of sense. But they did him, the Rabbanim, the Yonim, based on their understanding of Hezekiah, we want to make sure that the wall doesn't fall down, and we want to make sure that the person is not being mazik somebody else, doesn't become a tircha every time to fix the wall. So there are Torah factors, there are dinim mamonos, but not chaver factors that the dinim have to take into account. Of course, they have to take into account what the metzias is as well. It'd be very silly if you had three rabbanim passing on a wall who never went to Home Depot. So of course, they have to understand a little bit what's going on. Whenever I say Home Depot, so I always tell my talmidim, whenever I say it, I start to shake, because the only time that I'm ever sent to Home Depot is the Erev Sukkos. Not that I'm sent for like lumber and something major. I'm sent usually to buy some Velcro. That's the only thing I'm trusted at to get. Half the time I get that wrong also. My wife showed full confidence in me and Erev Shoshana and sent me to the Home Depot to get, because we had a little issue with our garbage cans went down to the Mississippi River, down wrecked the court 2 weeks ago. We lost a few garbage cans in the flood and in the stream. So I was sent there by Shoshana to go pick up a few extra backup, not the town garbage cans, like the lawn garbage cans, but the private garbage cans. So I went, I was all excited, I was all proud of myself. And I came back, and of course, Kayadua had wrote the wrong cans, which just meant another trip back to people to bring the right cans. So, of course, you have to understand the garbage cans. You have to understand the fencing. You have to understand the mitzvahs. If you understand the mitzvahs, so you can be the greatest of all. The get the bracha, but if you don't understand how to buy something, how to build a wall, it's not going to work. That's what the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, that Rav, before he passed in the Chayrish Shailas, he spent 3 months on the farm. Because if you don't understand animals, we're going to pass in the Chayrish. You're going to pass it to Mum. If you never saw an animal, how are you going to pass it whether it's a Mum or not? So the Chachamim have to get there, either the Chachamim themselves understand building, or they have to get the experts who do understand building to explain to them building properly. And if and when they understand the mitzvahs, and as great as the Chachamim, they know what the halacha is, they understand all the Torah factors, and they came up with this great svara that the wall should be built as oi, believe it or not, that's a din in a Torah. Lama likra svara, that's pasha, makes sense. That's what the Torah image would be of having the proper wall. That's what a Kol Kibbutz Kavadina means. So we have two very, very different approaches as to what a Kol Kibbutz Kavadina is based on. Is a Kol Kibbutz Kavadina based on a formal statement of this is not really the halacha, this is shaloi kedin, or it's a hefker based on hefker. We're changing the halacha, we're making up a new halacha. Or no, a Kol Kibbutz Kavadina doesn't mean we're making up anything new. We're just simply putting our heads to the, concentrating and figuring out and using all the Torah perspectives, invoking the parsha, the sugya of lam likras varo. But no matter how you slice it, it only applies to Menei Chachamim. Because if you're going down the route of Efker, Bezdin, Efker, so even if you hold you can be a low-level Bezdin, you have to be somebody. You can't have three regular guys. Three guys in Shul decide they make Efker, Bezdin, Efker. I mean, Tars the door maybe, but maybe Prusbel Bas. It's not Efker, Bezdin, Efker. It's hard to believe. It's got to be the Rabbanim in town. But if you go down the route of Lam Likros Varu, it also makes sense it has to be the Rabbanim in town because you have to make sure that it makes sense within the Torah system. But as we spoke about last week, there was a second type of a minug that is binding in halacha that has nothing to do with Rabbanim, nothing to do with Dayanim, nothing to do with Tamil Chachamim. That was the minug of the Chamorim, that was the minug of the camel drivers, of the donkey drivers. So where did that come from? Why am I mechuyev to follow with the three Amaratzim that could camel drivers? What does that have to do with me? So there it's a different part. That's what Tumas Adeshin said last week, that because you join the camel drivers union, you're part of a team. And you're working together with a team of people, so there's a built-in haskama shebaleiv, there's a built-in agreement that you're going to follow the rules. And if you're not going to follow the rules, so then don't join the caravan. So by signing up for this trip, by signing up for this caravan, you basically, it's like, they give you a long piece of paper to sign, so nobody actually reads all the things that it says, but it's, whether you read it, you didn't read it, you signed them. You signed it. Go tell them in court that I didn't read the little fine print. You signed it. So there are certain things in halacha that don't even require a signature. That if it's understood, it's Ilyasa. I see the lawyers back there have said what to say. So am I correct that if you signed it? Pretty much. Okay. And here the halacha says there are certain things if you didn't sign. If by the mere fact that you showed up, you joined the team. So built into that parsha is that you're going to follow the rules. So you don't need great Tamid Chacham for that. So if the rules are made up by a bunch of camel drivers who don't know anything, so what? But so don't be a camel driver. Don't join the shiur. Go on your own in the desert and get lost. Don't join the caravans. So the bottom line is there really are two different parshas of Minhagim that are playing out in Aloha. There's a Kol Kibbutz Medina of the Minig HaChachamim, the Minig HaChachamim, which is based either on one of two ideas, either Efker Bezdin Efker or Lam Likros Varo. Then you have the second level of Minhagim, which don't have to make any sense, but they're Kabbalah Satzibur. Kabbalah Satzibur is going to be binding on you as well.
I just want to decide, why is that Svaro has so much weight in that respect? I know that, in other words, we believe in the Torah, down in Shemayim, there's such a specific way that we govern our lives in day to day. And then to say that the Sfara, I can understand you said to me the Sfara, the Lamali Kura Sfari is enough to get me to do something with Torah because Bezdin is going to say that this is the logic that we're going to apply. But to say that it jumps the level that is actually from a Kodesh Baruch Hu himself, that this is the way to the extent that. Like, to the extent that this is the
Deoraisa, the Gemara says it. The Gemara seems to say it because the Gemara says, I need a pasuk for. If you wouldn't say like I'm saying, then what kind of kasha is that Lam Likros Varo? I need a pasuk to make a Deoraisa. So the answer is, I don't need a pasuk to make a Deoraisa. It was Deoraisa anyway. Somebody asked me that kasha recently. Somebody went with me and asked me that kasha. He said, Lam Likros Varo. So then, what do I need a pasuk to have a Los Yitzchak for? I wouldn't have figured out Los Yitzchak on my own. So, answer to them that it's true that 99% of the time, I would have figured out Los Sirtzach on my own. But there are cases of Los Sirtzach that are not logical. The case of Los Sirtzach that are, that if you would go with, in a sense, Svara, I could hear somebody arguing, maybe we should pull the plug from the person on the ventilator. Maybe we should mercy kill him. There are. I could hear somebody putting, I hear something. People do put forward such arguments. I don't want to make reference to any particular issues that are going on in the certain states of the union right now, but a particular state down south is discussing at great length this very question that says Lamlikrosvaru. Some people are suggesting that Los Sirtzach is okay. So that's a very, very loaded question. So Los Sirtzach is stuck. You need a pasuk. You need a Kodesh Baruch Hu to tell me that Los Sirtzach always applies.
That's a good point, though, that there are certain things you want to apply Svara to.
But again, if it's Kibbalah Svara, like nobody, Gemara says that nobody who thinks in a Torah mindset would ever argue in a Motzvah Chavir Lavaraya. It doesn't make any sense to argue on that. How can you imagine the following Din Torah? I come to a base and I say, that's my shirt. Bais says, yeah, good, sounds right. And the other guy says, you know, it's my shirt. No, take off your shirt and give it to him. Can anybody argue that makes sense? I mean, in America, we say possession is, let's say, 9/10 of the law. So in halacha, it's 99.99% of the law. You know, in the realm of hashkafa, we can cross the bridge a little bit from the realm of halacha to the realm of hashkafa. You know, if you, Kodesh Baruch Hu created us, you know, he had the Nefesh Chaya. Kodesh Baruch Hu created us b'das v'dibur v'yibach v'yabach v'nishmas chayim. Kodesh Baruch Hu gave us whatever that means in the Sifrei Kabbalah, l'chelik alokim v'mal. That, you know, in a certain sense, we have that. We have that ability to understand, to comprehend things that Kodesh Baruch Hu, you know, gave us. So, in a certain sense, when we speak, the things that we think of, the things that we speak of, are really representative of what the Dvar Hashem is. Really representative of what the das of Kodesh Baruch Hu is. So, how come every word that comes out of our mouth is not the Dvar Hashem? Because we so plunged, we so mixed it up with such a nonsense. So 99.99% of the things that come out of my mouth, it's not a Kodesh Baruch Hu speaking. It's we're saying our own nonsense. When 99% of the thoughts that we have are our own shtuyot in our minds. Not what a Kodesh Baruch Hu speaking. If a person has totally, completely devoid of all the shtuyot of this world, so like the Gemara says, shechid b'davar shetach b'ron Rosh Moshe. When Moshe Rabbeinu spoke, the words weren't his own words. It was Kodesh Baruch Hu speaking. It came out of the mouth of Moshe Rabbeinu. When a person, you know, the Beis Din, the Chachamim, so refined their logic, and it's so perfect. This is what Kodesh Baruch Hu wanted. This is the Das Elyon. This is what Kodesh Baruch Hu wanted of us. So a lot of the Kodesh Baruch Hu, it's got to be a Svarah to be Chacham. It can't be a Svarah to be three camel drivers. It's not Das Elyon. Even if it's even if one of the donkey drivers' name is Billon, it's still not your dad, that's not you. So back to the story. So everything we've been talking about sets the stage really for.
Is there not meaning between different approaches? At the end of the day, is there
anything? I'm not sure. I don't know. I'm not sure there is. I don't know. So this really sets the stage for something we touched a little bit upon last week. Almost an extension and probably a lot more relevant for us, the halacha, than building walls in the middle of courtyards. That's the famous Gemara. About Dina de Machus Adina. The Gemara, on the third of the Maamar Kamos, it's the next Maamar Kamos of the Basra, that's Nindal of the Beis. The Gemara is in the third line of that Maamar Kamos, Nindal of the Beis of the Basra. Ramah Shmuel Dina de Machus Adina. Shmuel made, again, we're going to leave out the details of what the context of the statement were, because it appears in a few places in Shas. Dina de Machus Adina. So basically, the different places that the Gemara actually says Dina de Machus Adina. The Gemara says it concerning shtaros, concerning certain documents, that we know there are many, many details as to what constitutes a document in halacha, it has to be written, and yet the Mishnah talks about the possibility in the first Berachot Gittin of accepting non-Jewish documents, a secular document. The document was drawn up by non-Jewish lawyers, and it didn't meet all the criteria of regular shtaros. The Mishnah says, shtaros are only by kosher, akum ksherim, except for get. Get is a religious document that has to be supervised, that has to be done kedasa v'din. If you're just selling your house and you decide to write a document in court and you didn't go to a beis din and you didn't get it done with all the hilchos the shtaros, so the shtaros still considered to be acceptable. So the Gemara says, why is that true? Dina d'machus adina, because that's what the government says. The government says the shtar is good, so the shtar is good. And the Gemara has another context. The Gemara says the end of Bava Kamma that the government says you have to pay taxes. So you have to pay taxes. Why? Dina d'machus adina. So the Gemara uses this principle of Dina d'machus adina in a few places in Dina Mamonos. So the Rishonim are wondering, where does this come from exactly? The Gemara never asked the question, not really. How do you know that the person can use a document that's supervised by a non-Jewish court? How do you know the person has to pay taxes? How do you know that the government, the non-Jewish secular authorities, have any say in Dinei Mamonos? The state in Pashas Ve'ela Mishpatim. Where does it say that anywhere? The Gemara says it in a few places, Dinei Mamonos Adina. Where does it say that in the Tershav Chsav? Where does it say in Tershav Chsav? Where is the source of that idea of Dinei Mamonos Adina? So there is a fascinating comment by Rabbeinu Yonah. Rabbeinu Yonah is on the next Gemara Mekomos. Rabbeinu Yonah, that's a good fun example. Rabbeinu Yonah, at the end of the third page of the Gemara Kamos, the very, very last line of Rabbeinu Yonah, Shelo Husker Dina de Machusa, Ella, skip to the top of the fourth page, Ella Hafkosh and Achosim of Koim and Baalem Dina Melech, Ucheinyan Hefker based in Hefker. Rabbeinu Yonah makes an equation on the board, a startling equation. He says, you want to know a little bit about Dina de Machusa, you want to know where it comes from, you want to know the mechanics, how it works. It's kind of like a cousin to Hefker based in Hefker. The same way Hefker based in Hefker works, I mean, we said last week, Hefker based in Hefker for sure works in HaTorah, no question about that. Just as Hefker based in Hefker works, so too Dina de Machusa Dina works. And that is very, very startling. So we already spent a lot of time last week in the Prismal Sugyas trying to analyze what kind of Beis Din has the authority to be Mafkia Mamun, Mafkia Mamun. We said, according to many Rishonim, it's got to be a Beis Din, a Gondol, a Beis Din, Choshev, a Beis Din, Shabbat, a real high-level Beis Din. Even three nice Rabbanim, three guys have Smicha, that's not enough to be Mafkia Mamun so fast. Wait a second. The Yonah just said that the Dina de Machusa Dina is wearing the hat of a Hefker Beis Din Hefker. Those are not quite the greatest of Minacham. I don't want to, say anything derogatory about any of our political leaders, but some of the people who are sitting in whatever city is making the rules, whatever your municipality is making the rules, they're not exactly the Gedolei Hador. They're not even Jewish. So what does that mean? What do the words mean? So clearly Rabbeinu Yonah had a very, very different image of what Hefker Beis Din Hefker means than anything we've been talking about up to now. We thought Hefker Beis Din Hefker was three very, very great Talmid Chachamim, or at least three low-level Talmid Chachamim. These are three, no Talmid Chachamim, not even Jewish, not even three. A guy sitting in someone sitting in Trenton and signing laws. What's up with me? Hefker Beis Din, who made that the Beis Din? Where did that come from?
But can you say that at the time of the Gemara, like there was a Beis Din, the rabbis of the Gemara said, made this rule of Hefker Beis Din Hefker, not that it applies in their day, in their country, that it applies.
No, but the problem is, it means that the Gemara says Hefker Beis Din. That's one thing. So that has a certain image of great Talmid Chachamim, or quasi Talmid Chachamim.
No, but can you say that they had a Beis Din that said Hefker Beis Din Hefker, and it applies in the future as well?
And therefore they said to follow all the government rules.
Yeah.
It means it's not that Dina Machusa Dina works as a Hefker Beis Din Hefker. It's that Dina Machusa Dina really is meaningless on its own 2 feet. There was a Hefker Beis Din Hefker to follow the secular authorities.
Well, I mean, right.
Maybe again, it doesn't sound that way. It sounds more like that the teeth behind Dina Machusa Dina, it works in a similar mechanism to Hefker Beis Din Hefker. Maybe you're right. Maybe your pshat is correct. But others suggest that there's something behind the scenes here, something about Hefker Beis Din Hefker that's very, very different than the way we've been presenting it up to this point.
It's like in the domain. The U.S. owns everything that's here, and the Shark owns everything. So therefore, my property can be taken away from separate mine.
So some Rishonim say such an idea. Some Rishonim say that Dina Machusa Dina is based on that idea that the king conquered the land and you're living there, so you're a guest of his. He can do whatever he wants. Okay, that may be, but that's not Hefker Beis Din Hefker. That's not the model. The problem is that the model that Rabbeinu Yonah is picking up upon is there's something about Hilchos Hefker Beis Din Hefker that's connected to Dina Machusa Dina. So we have to put this a little bit on hold, because at least Tzach Shach was probably a couple of minutes before or 7 these days. So we'll put this on hold, something to think about for next week. What happened up here between Hefker Beis Hefker and Dina Machusa Dina? A very, very strange connection between the two. Hopefully, this year next week we'll try to finish this up. So next week, I think we should probably do Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday. Wednesday is just, I'm in Wednesday.
Wednesday this year? Rabbi, Wednesday this year?
I think Tuesday, Wednesday. Yeah, Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday. Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Well, if you have 5 minutes, like you sued that you can come for the show.
That, I, that was...